Welcome to the Fairhaven Church Sermons Podcast. Fairhaven is located in Hudsonville, Michigan, and we exist to help people find their way back to God. We hope this message helps you to take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
Morning, Fairhaven. How are we doing? Good, good. I'm excited today. Not only do we get to open up God's Word, but there's kids in their room. So if you're in the room, just give me a woo-woo. Okay, try it again. If you're a kid in the room, give me a woo-woo. Okay, I hear that. I know you're here. I'm excited that you're here. We have been in the series together. Let me tell you a story. We're digging into layers of history. And mind you, where we've been in Shechem, we've been in Megiddo, we've been to Jericho, and today we're ditching the dirt and we're going to the river. Is that cool? It's a tell. There's layers of history here that we get to unpack, and we believe that even as we unpack layers of history, we know that your story also has layers of story and history in it. Sometimes it's great, but once you start digging in, you start digging, and it can get real. And so as we jump into the Jordan River, I just want to show you this picture. This is one of my favorite pictures. This is Hazel a few years ago on the river in Colorado. Like, this is peaceful. Like, you could sit here all day long. The river is just gently flowing. How many of you have ever been floating down the Muskegon River? Raise your hand. Yeah, right? Look at this picture. This one is also awesome, where you just sit back and relaxing, tubing down the river. Does it get any better than that? Like, the river takes you, it's peaceful, it's beautiful, until you start making that bend and you go hit some tree branches and you hope your tube isn't popping. Like, that's real. But what in that moment, you're just following the current and relaxing. And then you have something like this. These are the things I live for. And if you don't believe me, like this, look at the smile on this guy's face right here. This is life right here. Whitewater rafting is where it's at. And now, mind you, that looks pretty dangerous, right? Like, I remember sitting at the training, you get by the water's edge, you can hear the river roaring, and you know you're about to get sucked into this, and they sit you down, they say, in case you fall out of the boat, this is what you do. And I was like, oh, in case you fall out of the boat. And then he's like, hey, in a moment, when we get down there, there's gonna be a moment where we get out of our raft and we actually can jump off a rock into the river. And I was like, let's go. That sounds cool. And this is like raging. It's later in the springtime, you know, the mountaintops, they're all the snow is melting, it's coming down. And we get to jump rock, and we jump in, and do you ever have that moment where you just get, like, paralyzed when you jump in, and you try to come up, and you're, you know? Yeah, I keep telling my son, who's 5, like, close your mouth when you jump in, but this time I didn't jump in, and I was like, it was scary, but at that moment, the guide was like, man, you gotta start swimming. Because if you don't, there's like a point of no return. You have to actively swim to the shore. This Jordan River that we're talking about, it starts at Mount Hiram and then goes down to the Sea of Galilee and goes all the way down to the Dead Sea, where it basically is nothing. There's nowhere else does the Jordan River. Once it hits the Dead Sea, there's a reason why they call it the Dead Sea. This is 156 miles long. It's like as if you and I were traveling up to Traverse City. That's how long the Jordan River is. And this is what the Jordan River looks like right now. Does that look like a raging whitewater rapids river? No. 95% of this river, they like dammed it up so that they can bring the water to the land. And this is what it looks like today. But back then, it didn't look like that. And Joshua, in the Bible, in Joshua 3, we see this, that at the time, Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. So I just want you to picture with me for a moment something like this. White water, there is nothing to stop this water. It is rolling down. If you see this picture here, there is about, if you can give me that map, there's a couple different options here, but when I started diving in, no one really agreed to what it was like in the time when the Israelites were crossing over the Jordan River into the Promised Land, conquering Jericho. But what we do know, potentially, is that the water depth was about 10 to 15 feet. It was about a half a mile across. Some people said 2 miles. I might have edited it to say about a half a mile, just in some studies I was looking at. And it was a raging river at the time that we hear about the Jordan River. And so I just want you to picture this with me for a moment. You and I are standing at the water's edge, at the river. And you're hearing the roaring water. It's flood stage, and there's about you and 2.5 million other Israelites at this water, and you're wondering, how are we going to cross this river into the land that was promised to us? And what's pretty crazy, they didn't have a boat that they could jump in and go over. There was no bridge that they could get over. There was no ability to really get by. But it was God's presence that went before them. And I find it fascinating because in this story of the Israelites at this river, the Bible says in Joshua 3 that the Lord goes before. It says, and the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Time out a moment. All the invitation is to take a step and stand in the river. So then Joshua gathers all these Israelites. Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you all the Ites, all the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Jerahmeites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. All the Sites will be casted out. This is how we know that the living God is among you. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. You have this moment that God's presence is going before them through the Ark of the Covenant, where there was no way. God's presence was before them, making a way. Constantly reminding, hey, I am with you. And sometimes we ask the question, at least I ask this question to myself, is God with me? And I don't know if you're a kid in the room. Oftentimes, my five-year-olds, sometimes a little bit older, will be, hey, it's time to go to bed, and I have to go up the stairs to my bedroom, and it's dark. Do you know what my son Soren asked me? He says, can I go? Can you come with me? Like, I don't want to go alone. Can you come with me? I don't want to be alone. It's dark up there. It's scary up there. I am afraid. And half of the time, it's a stall tactic because they'll walk down the stairs and be like, hey, I can't do this. I can't be up there by myself. And I'm like, what do you want? What do you need? And he's like, can somebody come up with me? And I think about that in our own life. It's like you ask the question, is God with me? The answer is yes, he's with you. And knowing in his presence, it ultimately gives you peace. And so when Soren goes up to bed and I'm in that room with him until he falls asleep, you can tell he's no longer scared or afraid. His dad is in the room. My presence is there. And it gives him peace. And in the story with this river, it goes even further. And what we find is God's power is more than enough. It's more than enough. Joshua 3, verse 14. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during the harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the waters flowing down the sea, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Picture this for a moment. There is this raging whitewater river. And here are the Israelites at the river. And because of God's power, he stops the river from flowing. I don't really know what it means to have a river pile up. Like, I don't understand that. I was trying to picture that. And it says all the way to Adam. Adam is 20 miles away from where they are at. It takes about 30 minutes to drive. Can you imagine a pile of water? And I was like, man, how tall is this thing? Could this pile of water be as tall as here? Could people see from all over the nations? Like, what is happening at the Jordan River? Something is happening. God's power is on display. So the people crossed over opposite of Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood where? On dry ground. While all Israel passed by until the whole nation, some 2.5 million have completed the crossing on dry ground. This right here has God's power on display. If I were to think of it this way, like, when was the last time I stopped a river from flowing? When was the last time you stopped a river from flowing? I don't know when that was. No, I never did it. I never did it. Unless I just put a block right there and then it kind of just still flowed around it. But one way or another, what we see here is a miracle from God. Why did God do this? Well, one was to provide a way, but also, if you see in Joshua 4, 24, he did this so that all the peoples on the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful and that you might always fear the Lord your God. That is why he did it, for the power of God, to fear him, to worship him, because God is powerful. And then we have story upon story at the Jordan River, layers of history and history and generations that God shows up and his presence is there, his power is there. There is this super cool story. Can you hand me the axe, please? About this axe head. Like, I don't know about throwing it at me. That might be a little dangerous. About an axe head in the Bible. And it's super cool. But at the same time, at first it was like super confusing. And I was like, Pastor Greg, what does this even mean? But there is this story in the Bible about an axe head. And so I just want to read it. The company of the prophets said to Elisha, "Look, the place where we meet with you is too small for us. Let's go to the Jordan where each of us can get a pole and let us build a place there for us to meet." And he said, "Go." Mind you, if you ask a prophet to go, you might want him to go with you, because he could do some crazy cool things. The company of the prophet, then one of them said, "Won't you please come with your servants?" "I will," Elisha replied. And he went with them, and they went to the Jordan and began to cut down trees. And as one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. "Oh no, my Lord," he cried out. "It was barred." Okay, pause there. This is a story. It's in the Bible. It's real. And here they're at the Jordan River, and they're just chopping because they need to build a bigger place. And he's throwing it back, and the axe head goes into the Jordan River. Okay, remember VBS, kids? Will this axe head sink or float? Stand up if you think it will sink. Sit down if you think it will float. Exactly. It sinks. I don't know if you know that. It's made of metal. It's like, it will sink. And you have this story. It's like, it's borrowed. But in this culture, in this time, here we have this borrowed axe. And to lose it in the river would bring shame upon you, would bring guilt upon you. It was borrowed. It wasn't even theirs. And so what are you going to do? It was borrowed. And so the man of God asked, where did it fall? And when he showed him the place, he cut a stick and threw it there and made the iron flow. Lift it out, he said. Then the man reached out his hand and took it. Can you imagine that? You throw a stick in there and all of a sudden this is floating. It's a miracle. At the Jordan River, another one. It's crazy. God's power is way bigger than we can even imagine. And if you go more years along the way, what we realize is God is at work. That even in the axe head, this little axe head in the river, God provides a way for it to come because God really cares even about the smallest things. He cares about the nation of Israel into the promised land and stopping the river, but he also cares about even an axe head in the river that he provides a way for it to come back to the one who it belongs to. And I just can't help but think, if God cares about that, how much more does he care about even the littlest things in my life? You know, when you fall asleep and you got that little worry in the back of your mind, you're like, man, what is going to happen is this. Or maybe the burden that you carry and you're like, man, does God really care? I mean, God does mighty things, but he even does something as small as an axe head floating. He provided a way. And so time passes, and then we move into this New Testament, and we have this guy named John the Baptist. And he comes in, and I love it because he's just living on locusts, and he's living on wild honey, and he's wearing camel fur, basically hair, and a leather belt around his waist, and he's been hanging out in the desert for a long time. Can you imagine hanging out in the desert for a long time? Like, what that might be like. And he's coming, and he's saying to these people saying, hey, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And John is saying, hey, repent. And people in the town, this is like some 400 years later, in the town is like, what is this? What's going on? And they start coming to the Jordan River, repent. And then John the Baptist comes and baptizes people as they repent at the Jordan River. What he says here is that I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me comes one who is more what? Powerful than I. More powerful than I. What I love about this Jordan River is the layers show that there is a miracle here and a miracle here and a miracle here, and ultimately there's something, someone more powerful than John the Baptist. Something more powerful that will happen at the Jordan River. And so sometimes I ask the question, is God able? Like in my life, is God able? Is God able to help me in this situation? Is God able to be with me here? Is God powerful? And sometimes in my life, I kind of doubt that a little bit. Like, does he? Can he? And the reality, though, is his power gives us confidence. It gives us confidence. It gave the Israelites confidence that the water stopped and they could walk through. It gives you confidence because God ultimately provides a way. He does. In his presence, in his power, and in God's provision, he provides a way. Even when it feels like there might not be a way, he makes a way. He made a way with the Israelites. Yet as soon as the priest who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, what happened? The waters from upstream stopped. Will God make a way? The answer is yes, God will make a way. And guess what? That gives you and I hope. And this is the way we hear at the Jordan River, Jesus comes to this river. It says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven opened up, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighted on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. God has been providing a way for years and years, generations and generations. And in this moment, Jesus, the Son of God, is at the river saying, hey, I need to be baptized. He actually enters in as a human being into this world to be like us, to walk where we walk, to come in flesh. In this moment, he's identifying, saying, hey, I am with you. And then I love, there's this dove that comes, the Spirit top of him, and there's this moment that says, this is my Son, whom I'm well pleased. If you had any questions in the 30 years Jesus has been alive, in this moment, you know, God the Father says, this is my Son. This is Jesus. This is the one who's going to provide a way. This is the one who is powerful to conquer sin and death on the cross. This is my Son. And this begins this public ministry of Jesus saying, hey, this guy right here. And so imagine with me, Jesus is born in Bethlehem, right? Pastor Lori will be preaching about that next week, so you should be back. And then over his life, he comes to the Jordan River. The first thing he does before he starts to heal people, before he helps blind people receive sight, before he forgives sin, before all these things, he comes to the Jordan River and he gets baptized. And then 3 years later, he finds himself on the cross. And what I find interesting is with Joshua going to the Jordan River, and through the power of God, he provided a way through the water, such the same that at the Jordan River, God reveals his presence, he reveals his power, he reveals his provision, so his people will fear and trust him to follow him where he leads. And Jesus, at the Jordan River, is baptized and then goes to the cross. And at the cross, he provides a way for you and I to defeat sin and death once and for all. That at the Jordan River, God stopped the water. But at the cross, Jesus died and brought freedom and hope and life. At the Jordan River, Israel enters the promised land, and yet at the cross, God provides a way for you and I to be in a right relationship with himself. You and I to be in the presence of God forever. I think this is good news. And then I ask the question, how do we respond? So if you go back a little bit with me, back to Joshua, how might one respond? In Joshua 4:1, it says, when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So we got these stones we're picking up. So Joshua called together the 12 men, and he appointed from Israelites one from each tribe and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the Israelites to serve as a sign among you in the future when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? When your children ask you, what do these stones mean? You get to tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were crossed off, were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. How might we respond? So I'm praying that you picked a stone up when you came in. If not, we have stones in the back. We have stones up here as well. These are moments marked in the lives of people, the Israelites at the Jordan River. These are spiritual markers. One could consider them God moments for this nation. And so you have this moment, these stones are getting piled upon them, and they said, hey, when your children and their children walk by these stones, you tell them when God's presence was before them. You tell them God's power of stopping the river so they can come into the promised land. You tell them that God made a way. I don't know if you're like me, but I forget often. Anybody else? Raise your hand if you're like, forget. Like, you can't remember what you did last week. Okay, so we got a few. Thank you, I'm not the only one. It's funny, because sometimes I look at my calendar and be like, what did I do on Tuesday? I don't remember. I think that I am very forgetful. And I don't know if you feel that. Please tell me you do, so I don't feel I'm alone. But this is what we're doing. Oftentimes, the Israelites forgot, time and time again. And oftentimes, you and I forget how God has been at work in your life. So if you have a stone, in a moment, I'm going to invite you to do something great. With the people sitting around you, I want you to ask yourself this question. How have you experienced God's presence, God's power, or God's provision in your life? How have you experienced God's presence, power, and provision in your life? Now I'm going to tell you a story for my stone. While I do that, you be thinking about what you might tell the person next to you. Maybe in your family group, and you're like, mom or dad in this thing, and you're like, hey, kids, this stone right here, this is where I experience God's provision. I experience God's presence and his power. Or maybe you're like, hey, I don't want to share that. I just want to keep it quiet. If you're alone or if you're not, I would say we're all a family. So if you're just one person, I'd say you go find a family and just get adopted into the family and just share stories of where you've experienced God's presence, power, and provision. And so for me, if I were to think about that, it was from a dream. And in this dream, Okay, we got it. You all are winners. Yes. Yes. Okay, when you bring your stone up later, there are smarties up here because you're so smart. So when you bring your stone up and then you go and grab a smartie and just be like, I'm a winner. Okay, that sounds good. For me, it was a dream. This was back in February a few months ago. My wife and I, my family, we were discerning, like, is God calling us here at Fairhaven? Mind you, we had a place where we were serving and for 8.5 years, and it was a place that we love. I mean, when you pour time and energy into a space, it just becomes like home. And I think oftentimes I'd be like, Emily, no, this is every day. Multiple times a day, I was scared. I was afraid. What would happen if God was calling me from one place to another? And in that moment, truly, God's been wrestling in me something for 2.5 years. And then every time, every day, I was asking Emily, are we doing the right thing? Are we doing it? Are we going to do this? What's going on? Should we just not do it? Should we run away? What are we doing? And every time, it just kept going. And then I got afraid and fearful. And there was this moment. It's 2 or 3 in the morning. The fire alarm things in my house, they were going off. Like, you know, chirping, you know, when the battery's low. You're like, oh. And then the kids come into your room. And you're like, can we fix this? And I'm like, okay. And so we go fix this. And then I go back to bed. They go back to bed. And I had this dream. And in this dream, it was me driving here. This was before anything else was happening. Me driving here. And I don't know, maybe it was Pastor Greg. We hopped into his truck. Could have been him or it could have been Jesus. I don't know. One way or another, we were driving down and we landed at a mailbox. This mailbox wasn't any random mailbox. It was between my great-grandparents' house, my grandparents' house, and my parents' house. Yeah, it's that close. In Jenison. And there's this mailbox, and we go hang out in this mailbox. There is food there, there's a meeting going on. I look over to my house where I grew up, and I look in the window, I'm like, oh, look at that. My whole family's there looking. And I'm like, come on in the mailbox. And they come in the mailbox, and we're all hanging out in this mailbox. And then I woke up, and I was like, cool, that was great. If it wasn't a week later, I come here on a Sunday morning in February where Dan Seaborn is preaching, and I come in, and I look to my left, and I see my youth pastor. Like, I'm like, what is happening? This is cool. And so I'm talking to him for a second, and then I look over to my right, just over there, at the same time, and I'm like, some of my family's here. This is cool. And I didn't think much of it. And then I go later to a CCT team meeting, and I had a moment to share some of my story and who I am. And I remember after I was done, it dawned on me. I was like, man, this is like my dream. What's the color of this building? It's gray. What the world? I was just in a gray mailbox. This is real life. Like, my family's here. I got a chance to go hang out. There's food in this dream, and now there's food here in real life. And after I got a chance to do that, I walked over there in that gym, and I just sat there on the stage, and I was like, God, if this doesn't even happen, I'm good. You know what happens when God goes before you? When God shows you the way? Like, there's a sense of peace. There's a sense of hope that happens. And that's like the stone. That's what I would tell my kids. Like, there was this time when God showed me that I've got you. The dream looked very familiar, like this place. And then, if not, 2 months later, my mom calls and says, hey, I just want to let you know that mailbox got destroyed. Like, literally, the car ran into it so hard that the flap of the thing, that little front thing, went to the front of my parents' driveway. And now, to this day, I drove past. There is a new post and a new mailbox. I'm like, this is crazy. God's like, I got you. You're okay. Like, don't have to worry anymore. You don't have to be afraid anymore. I'm making a way. I am providing a way. And then I sit there and it's like, man, God is doing a new thing in my life. And he knew that this thing, that thing over here, all these things were coming together because God went before me. And so the question that we ask is, where have you experienced God's presence, God's power, and God's provision? What story comes to your mind that you can tell your kids, you can tell your grandkids, or you can just tell the person next to you? Does it sound good? So we're going to take a few minutes for you to have a conversation with people around you. I know if you're an introvert, you're like, Josh, I'm never coming back. Please come back. Bethlehem is next week. Please come back. It's going to be Christmas in July. You need to come back. But in this moment, take a few minutes to tell someone next to you, I have seen God in these ways. And then after you're done, you're free to stand up and bring your rock so we can celebrate all the stories of where God's presence, his power, and his provision is at the Jordan River. And yes, even here today, God is still at work. Sound good? Give me a thumbs up if that sounds good. Awesome. Take a few minutes and talk with someone next to you.
Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you are encouraged and that God revealed a piece of his character to you as you listen through this message. For service times and for more information on all the things happening in the life of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.